This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. Hey, how do you like Cheesehead TV 3.0? We'll get to that in a second. To kick off today's show, we have a special guest joining us on the phone to talk Packers and to talk free agency. We have Paul Oren of the Northwest of the Times of Northwest Indiana. Pardon me, Paul. We've got all sorts of issues going on in the show this morning, but how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Paul is a beat writer for the Valparaiso basketball team, but I invited him on the show today to share a story about the Packers defensive lineman Mike Neal. That's gone largely untold by the Packers media. And with today being potentially the last day Neal is under contract with the Packers, I wanted this story to be told before it was too late. But first, we need some background here, Paul. Of course, Neal is from Northwest Indiana, and I guess I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, Mike Neal played at Merrillville High School, which is about 20 minutes from Valparaiso, where I live here. It's odd. I'm originally from Milwaukee. I'm a transplant, so to speak. Here, I live in Valparaiso, and amongst a lot of Chicago Bears fans, and Mike Neal being one of them. Growing up, Mike Neal, big Bears fan. His family, big Chicago Bears fans. Mike went to Purdue, and then was drafted, obviously, by the Packers. Has a couple brothers who played at Merrillville and one who was a senior this year. Mike has often, after his time at Purdue was done and he was with the Packers, has often tried to come back to Merrillville as much as possible. Last year, missing a couple games at the beginning of the season. I sat with him during a Merrillville football game. He came during one of those weeks. And then this year, it was during the bye week, and Merrillville was hosting LaPorte High School. Now, LaPorte is the bottom feeder of the conference. And Merrillville, to give you an idea, is part of the biggest class of football in Northwest Indiana. So, I mean, it's big boy high school football. So Mike comes back to watch his brother play. Well, tragically, earlier in the week, a junior linebacker for LaPorte collapsed and died at practice. This was on a Wednesday, I believe, Tuesday before the game. And the decision's made that LaPorte is going to play the game on Friday, and they're going to play at Merrillville. Obviously I don't want to overlook the tragedy of all this, but let me just break this down to a football term. LaPorte is a bottom feeder team, and they're going to Merrillville, who's one of the best teams in the area. They don't have a prayer in this game whatsoever. And so you put all of the tragedy to it, and then you boil it down to football, and it just looks very, very tough. So LaPorte goes to Merrillville, and they play very inspired in the first half. They're trailing. They're down 27-0 at the half, which obviously sounds like a blowout, but LaPorte made some big plays, and it just felt like they were in it. And then at the half, Mike Neal goes and speaks to the LaPorte football team in the locker room. Before I get into that, I'll tell you that every high school in Northwest Indiana, LaPorte's colors are orange and black. Everybody was wearing orange all over the state, all over Northwest Indiana. Mike Neal and his family, everybody had orange on in at Merrillville that night, Mike took the time to go in and talk to Laporte, and just and he spent about the last 5 minutes of halftime with those guys. You know, talked about being brothers, talked about being a team, talked about how, you know, life is bigger than football, but that sometimes football is life, and how they can all come together. And Laporte went out there and played a very inspired second half, and it was just a really nice moment. And following 2 days later, there was a funeral at the high school, Laporte High School, and representatives of every high school team within 50 miles went to that funeral, and it was held at the football field. It was a very, very touching moment.
Thanks, Paul. I wanted that story to be told because I don't think it's gotten attention outside of maybe Indiana, and I think it is something kind of touching that Packers fans can kind of take solace in and maybe celebrate Mike Neal's career a little bit. It's kind of tough here for me to transition into now Mike Neal perhaps maybe not being a Packer anymore. But Paul, I guess I want to get your thoughts here with free agency about to start tomorrow. What do you think the odds of Mike Neal returning to Green Bay are? What's he going to, what kind of interest is he going to get on the free agent market? Any of these questions, feel free to take it from here.
Yeah. You know, so I think obviously Green Bay with Ted Thompson, what he does is you like to re-sign your own. You don't often go out, you know, Green Bay doesn't often bring in guys from other teams. So the idea is, you know, let's re-sign all of our own. But this is kind of an odd year. You know, locked up Sam Shields, obviously a huge deal there. But you look at Mike Neal, it's a completely open-ended question as to what his interest is going to be, because right now you've got this guy as a defensive end who then makes this very, kind of ambitious switch to linebacker this year. And I think the returns were really good. But there's still the idea, is this guy injury-prone? Is he a weight room guy? You know, he's a beast in the weight room, but at the same time, is he motivated to do it? I think he's matured a lot in the NFL, and I think him going to speak to this team has showed that. I think he kind of had the knock at Purdue that he put in, just the minimal amount of work that he had to, but I think he certainly has shed that label, at least around, you know, people that followed Purdue and everything. I think that there's some intriguing possibilities with Mike Neal based on what we saw him making that position switch last year, that I think the Packers would like to bring him back. But obviously, you know, that second contract is what people want. And I don't know that the body of work has been there so far to warrant maybe a big number that he may be looking for. Yeah, I wonder if other teams want to kick the tires on him and see where to play him. But again, I think right now he's kind of a man on an island, because is he a defensive end? Is he a linebacker? Where does he see fit right now? I'll tell you the biggest fear, at least for me, as a guy who, and I guess as a media member, maybe I should say this, but I do have a framed autograph of Mike Jersey hanging in my living room right now. If he ends up with the Bears, that's tough, you know, and I know that there's maybe some interest to come back home. I think every player wants to do that. So I think Green Bay Packer players are always sought after in free agency because of the culture that the Packers have, and they can bring that into other locker rooms. So I fear that other guys will put premium on a Green Bay Packer, and that might drive the price up a little bit.
Maybe kind of continuing the Indiana connection here. I think there's this feeling that last year, the last Packers outside linebacker to become a free agent, Eric Walden, got more money than anyone ever expected with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think people around these parts think, well, if Eric Walden can get a big deal in free agency, maybe Mike Neal can as well. Do you think that is a possibility?
Well, yeah, and I think you just you you look at it from maybe the last point that I made, when you play for a winning program, and not that the Colts aren't a winning program. Obviously, the Colts, you know, have been very good for a long time, but they were coming off a very poor season. You know, look at what happens with any of these Seahawks free agents this year. They're going to command a much higher salary simply because they're coming from the Super Bowl champion team. They're coming from a team that's experienced that success, and you bring that into the locker room, and that's gonna drive the price up a little bit. I mean, obviously Michael Bennett's a very good football player, but I mean he's gonna get a very good deal, and a large part of it is because it's gonna say Michael Bennett, comma, Super Bowl champion. You know, Mike Neal, it comes from the Green Bay Packers, which is, you know, one of the top organizations in football, and because of that fact, he's going to be able to command a little bit more money. And I think, Brian, I think you're perfectly good point with Eric Walden there, because the Packers were not going to pay Walden anything close to what he got with the Indianapolis Colts.
Your reaction to Sam Shields signing a 4-year, $30 million deal with the Packers? I think the people are trying to gauge right now whether the Packers overpaid, underpaid, paid market price. It's obviously a big deal. I think Sam Shields becomes the third highest paid cornerback in the NFL on a average per season basis. What do you think, Paul?
Well, obviously, I think in the NFL you have to look for there are two numbers to look for. And I don't think years is part of it, but what's the guaranteed number? I mean, that's the number that really, you know, I mean, in the NFL, which stands for not for long, you know, so I think it was $12 million guaranteed. But, yeah, obviously that's a big number, big salary number. I think that's, again, Ted Thompson showing commitment to his players, and they want to get him locked up. The Packers feel his speed, which is his biggest asset, isn't going to go anywhere right now. I mean, what is he, 26? I'm not even sure Shields' age right now, but they feel his speed's not going anywhere. He's certainly evolved into a very, very effective football player. I think if you look at their free agents that they had coming in, he was certainly maybe 1B, in my opinion, of the most important free agents that the Packers had. We'll get to who I think 1A is in a second. But, you know, I think this is a huge move for the Packers, and I think it shows a willingness to want to lock up, again, one of their own. Be curious to see what they do with their other guys, but I think that Shields was a very important signing. I think that probably will turn some heads a little bit. You know, putting a big number out there like that, but I think, again, I give a lot of credit to Ted Thompson for being able to lock down one of his guys before he potentially gets out into free agency, because, again, things are going to get really silly tomorrow. The big numbers are going to start flying around, and, again, guys from the Packers, guys from the Seahawks, guys from the Patriots, guys from the Steelers, they're going to command more money because they come from successful programs.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be getting into territory of player 1A here for the Packers' priorities in free agency. Maybe I am, but I also wanted to get your reaction to this supposed one-year deal that the Packers offered defensive lineman B.J. Raji. I think it caught people off guard just that the Packers have offered a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it contract. Raji reportedly weighing his options here and seeing what else he could possibly get in free agency. Is this player 1A, Paul?
Not in my opinion.
Okay.
But still a very important, still a very important player.
Talk about Raji, and then we'll get to 1A.
Okay, here's what I'll say about B.J. Raji. I think it's a tough situation for him because, you know, and you see all the reports, what the Packers ask him to do is not conducive to him getting sack numbers. It's not conducive to him kind of having the sexy statistics. So maybe that hurts his market value. So if he's weighing a one-year offer, you know, he's got to ask himself, and I'm sure he and his agent are talking about this and he and his family are talking about this, what's going to happen in that one year that's going to be any different than what just happened in his last year? where he doesn't really have the numbers. Look, there's no doubt that he is a beast. You put him in the middle of the field, and that truly helps. You put him in the middle of the lineup, that truly helps. But at the same time, are his statistics going to be gaudy enough to warrant kind of a big deal? At the same time, if you're B.J. Raji, do you want to dance with the devil you know or dance with the devil you don't know? And I do think it would behoove B.J. Raji to take, you know, kind of a prove-it deal, unless, of course, tomorrow somebody calls him up, a la Eric Walden, and throws just a boatload of money at him. And someone says, hey, we want you to be our nose tackle. And it'd be curious to see what happens. I would like to see B.J. Raji return. I think he is, he's ingrained himself into the culture of the Packers. There's so many iconic visual moments of him from the Super Bowl run and even years after that. But at the same time, money talks and money makes people walk.
All right, so let's get to player or priority 1A here. Who do you think the Packers should be working on keeping now that Sam Shields is locked up?
Well, I think it's one that I wouldn't have said this 6 months ago, a year ago, but I think Evan Dietrich Smith is so important. If only because I want to echo something Aaron Rodgers said. And you know, every once in a while, and this is probably much to the chagrin of Ted Thompson, Aaron Rodgers likes to get into the negotiating a little bit, with little slight comments here and there. He did this with James Jones a couple of years ago and things like that. But Evan Dietrich Smith, Rodgers echoed saying, look, it's time for me to have a center that I can make a long run with. It's time for me to have a guy that we can, you know, we can be comfortable with for a period of time. And I think we've seen kind of this revolving door at center over the years. And I do think that there's some comfortability there with Rodgers and Evan Dietrich Smith. I think everybody speaks very highly of Evan Dietrich Smith. And I do think that, you know, you want to make your quarterback happy. And I think Rodgers has kind of illustrated that. If he's happy, you know, things are good. So I think it's important to keep him happy. And sometimes that's adding, you know, your receivers, James Jones. Yeah, I don't know what the Packers are going to do with him, especially with the young receivers that they've got coming up right now. I just don't know if they're gonna throw a lot of money at somebody when they've got, you know, kind of these intriguing prospects at wide receiver. But I just think locking down the center, getting Evan Dietrich Smith under contract, I think he wants to stay in Green Bay. I think Rodgers wants him to stay in Green Bay. I think the offensive line unit, if they can ever stay healthy, can be a very good unit. But I think it starts with trying to lock down Evan Dietrich Smith.
Paul, before we let you go, and I've kept you here longer than I told you I would already, but anyway, there are reports the Packers are interested in a couple free agents from other teams, both being defensive linemen, Arthur Jones of the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Houston of the Oakland Raiders, maybe with Raji's return being uncertain here. I mean, I'm not going to ask you about Jones and Houston here, but maybe what do you anticipate seeing on the Packers defensive line in a general sense, seeing as Ryan Pickett's a free agent, C.J. Wilson's a free agent, Johnny Jolly's a free agent, kind of a position in flux here?
Yeah, you know, I trust Ted Thompson up against just about anybody in player evaluation. I think his decisions may not always be agreeable based on what the general public thinks, but look, it's worked over the years. My guess is the evaluation team is got, you know, their guys, Houston, Jones, players that they're looking for. I'd obviously love Johnny Jolly to return just because of everything he's gone through. I think, Pickett's probably got another year in the NFL, maybe two. I mean, he's getting up there. It's kind of like when you look in your closet and you say, like, I got all these clothes that are great. Maybe I want to go out and buy some new ones, but sometimes the ones I have, I already got in my closet right now what they're selling at the store. So I think that's what Thompson does quite a bit. But sometimes, you know, sometimes there's something new that you want to get. I will tell you this, Brian, the one name that I really want to look out for, and I think Packers fans are really going to maybe cringe at this a little bit, I wonder where Charles Tillman's going to end up. I know he's older than Woodson was when Woodson signed here several years ago. But I really am interested to see, you know, not on the front line of the defense, but on the backside, where does Charles Tillman come up? And is he intriguing enough? How awesome would it be? Lambeau Field next year, Charles Tillman pick six on Jay Cutler. Oh, that would be beautiful.
That is interesting.
We can dream, can't we?
Yeah, I like the style of play that Charles Tillman brings. He's definitely one of those blue-collar kind of guys who's tough. And I do like that. You don't want to overspend for a guy like him at his age, but no, that's an interesting idea.
I'll tell you this. This is something, again, that on the reverse side of things, the point that I made about how Packer free agents, their price kind of gets inflated when they go somewhere else. I do think, and I know that the NFL players, and very rarely do you see guys take less money than they normally would, I do think the Packers are one of those organizations, because they're always in the playoffs, they're always doing well, that a veteran like Tillman may very well say, you know what, I want to have a ride with Green Bay because I want to go to the Super Bowl. Just Saturday, you saw that. Brian, it's my birthday today. All I want for my birthday is Charles Tillman to pick off Jay Cutler in Lambeau Field next year. That's all I want.
Well, happy birthday wishes to you, and I'd love for that to come to reality, come to fruition as well. So, but Paul, thank you so much for joining us here on the show this morning. Great to talk football with you. Have a happy birthday,
thank you.
Let's do this again sometime.
Very, very good. Thank you very much, and enjoy Green Bay. Enjoy the warm weather we got coming.
Yes.
Sooner or later.
Yes, big weather day today. Very warm. Paul, thanks a lot. We'll see you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Paul Oren of the Times of Northwest Indiana joining us on the show today. Great to talk to him. Great to talk some Packers football. More than anything, I'm really glad he got to share that Mike Neal story that I don't think has been told locally in the Wisconsin media, not to my knowledge at least. I haven't seen it anywhere. Pardon me if it has been, but I think that's a really cool story that's kind of flown under the radar. Mike Neal talking to this opposing team in Indiana that his brother played, that lost a player, died during practice. Very tragic. And a shame that it happened, but a cool story that Mike Neal spoke to the team. They showed some resiliency in playing that game just days after the poor boy's death. So really cool there. But to get into some free agency talk as well with Paul Oren, really cool. And that's where we kind of find ourselves now. The Packers just a day away, not just the Packers, the entire NFL, a day away from free agency, from stupid season. Today, Monday, is the last day for the three-day negotiating window, last full day. So the Packers can negotiate with any team in the NFL. They can't come to terms, or they can't sign a contract with anybody from outside the organization, like Arthur Jones, Lamar Houston, Charles Tillman. They can sign at any point any player that's currently under contract with the Packers, a guy like Mike Neal, B.J. Raji, Evan Dietrich Smith. They can sign those guys at any time. Whether or not we'll see any progress made in that department in the next 24 hours, we'll see. But it's definitely going to be a lot of news breaking over the next day to really the next week as free agency opens and we see what takes place here in the NFL. So I guess what I wanted to do here for the remainder of the show, give my reaction to the Sam Shields signing that broke Saturday evening. Sam Shields signing a four-year, $39 million deal. We talked about it with Paul Oren. The Packers making Sam Shields the tied for the third highest cornerback in the NFL. If all these things come to fruition, nothing has been finalized yet. It's the report is they've just agreed to terms. There apparently hasn't been any contract signed yet, or at least news of it hasn't broken yet. But if everything falls into place here, and there's no reason to believe it won't, this will make Shields tied for the third highest paid cornerback in the NFL at nine. I think the figure is $9.75 million a season. And you know, it's kind of misleading because it's not like he's being paid $9.7 million every season. There's a very large signing bonus involved with this. I think $12.5 million. There's a lot of money in guarantees here. I think somewhere in the realm of $20 million guaranteed. The Packers can very much get out of this deal after about 2 years should Shields flop. I don't anticipate that happening. The fan in me wanted the Packers to come to terms with Sam Shields in more of a Brent Grimes kind of fashion. You had learned earlier last week that the Miami Dolphins came to terms with one of their own players, cornerback Brent Grimes, on a four-year, $32 million deal. And that's, I guess, what I would have liked to have seen the Packers pay Sam Shields. I fully realize with there being $10 million extra dollars added to the salary cap this year, that kind of came as unexpected, or at least the salary cap rising as much as it has came as unexpected, about a 7.5% increase. I realize, you know, players entering free agency right now, on average, are going to make more than ever before in NFL history, you know, especially compared to last year's free agent class or any other free agent class. They're going to be paid more money. So, you know, signing Sam Shields for $5 million a year or so, that was kind of reported that, you know, Sam Shields was interested in the deal that Tim Jennings got from the Chicago Bears. That wasn't going to happen. But, you know, for it to be so far off, what was kind of surprising, I would say. I mean, there's similarities in that deal, you know, in terms of the guaranteed money. But for a player you expect to, you know, fulfill all 4 years of the contract, I think you expect that out of Sam Shields, and I'm sure he expects that as well, kind of the way he accepted a deal, a four-year deal, the way it's contracted with less money in the first season in terms of a base salary and more later on. You know, I think he wants to play out that contract as well, but you never know. It could be restructured. They could add years onto the deal. That's down the road. I guess I just wish the Packers could have gotten him for a little bit cheaper. That way there's a little more salary cap flexibility, not just this year, but in future years as well. But, you know, what the Packers did, I'm not disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed in signing up who I thought to be. I didn't think Sam Shields was priority 1B. I thought he was 1A. He was just priority A plus for me. If he was one guy I didn't want to see the Packers lose. If the Packers lose every other free agent of their 17 unrestricted free agents this year, it really wouldn't bother me all that much that they got Sam Shields to return. He was the guy I wanted to see who I think helps the team more than anybody else. So there are other guys I'd like to see return, but I just think Sam Shields was the priority. I think he can help the team at cornerback, kind of solidifies that position there. Now the Packers don't have to spend a high round draft choice on a corner in the NFL draft upcoming here in May. They can focus on other positions. They can focus on safety. They can focus on adding a pass rusher. They can focus on adding a tight end maybe. We'll see all how it plays out. An inside linebacker. We'll see. We'll see. Sam Shields, he's a nice ascending player.
I think he's a guy who's in the prime of his career. I think he's a really good player. The only thing you wish from Sam Shields is he averages, what, 4 interceptions a year? You wish for $39 million he would grab more like 6-7 interceptions a year and become that Pro Bowl type of cornerback. And maybe he will. He's still young. And remember, you know, he was a guy who transitioned from playing wide receiver in college. You know, there's still room to grow with Shields here. And what I think so often, but it seems like every season he makes this spectacular play. Just this past year, look at that interception he made in picking off Tony Romo, which was basically the turning point in that game that the Packers won, came back from, 21 points down in the fourth quarter to win that game. He breaks on that ball and picks it off. Go back to the season before, and he picks off Colin Kaepernick in the playoff game. Packers go on to lose, but it was such a huge play for Sam Shields in the playoffs to get that pick six and put the Packers up. I think it put him up early in that game. Go back to the Super Bowl season and the interception he had in the NFC Championship game. These are huge plays, and plays not a lot of cornerbacks make that he breaks on the ball like Shields does. There's not many guys that can do that the way he does it, and it's his speed that helps Shields get it done. I think that's what you're paying for with Sam Shields. Those are amazing, amazing football plays that can be turning points in a game, that can be game changers. You wish there was a few more of them, and maybe there will be. That's what you hope as a Packer fan, that you're going to only see more of those plays. You hope it's not the kind of case where all of a sudden Sam Shields rests on his laurels here now that he got his big payday. That's what you worry with everybody. They get their big payday and all of a sudden they're fat and satisfied. And I know that's kind of what a lot of people are thinking about Morgan Burnett right now after he got his big contract last year. The way Shields' contract is structured, I think there's reason for him to continue to fulfill it, and every year getting a higher base salary every year, just needing to prove himself and stay on top of his game to encourage him to play at a high level year in and year out. So it's good. While I wish the Packers maybe have saved a few dollars, a few million dollars, and saved some salary cap space, I think that's secondary to keeping Shields in the fold and improving this defense. I mean, letting Shields go makes the defense worse, is what it does. But with Shields, there's missing pieces, no doubt about it. He's not the answer, but it becomes easier. You're not worrying so much about the cornerback position because also we take into effect here, you know, that this is the last year, 2014, of Tremont Williams' contract. I'm not ruling out the possibility that Tremont Williams might come back for 2015 and beyond, but it's certainly not happening at the price he got in his last contract. And it very well could be the end of his run in Green Bay. But with Sam Shields, you're kind of solidifying that position there. You've got a nice young ascending player to build around. You know, basically Shields taking over the number one cornerback position in the Packers organization. And you know, I anticipate Tremont Williams playing out his contract this year, but no guarantees after that. And the Packers don't have to go out and spend a first-round draft pick on you know, Justin Gilbert, Kyle Fuller, whoever, Darqueze Dennard. The Packers solidify the cornerback position in signing Sam Shields. And that's your take on the news that broke over the weekend. We'll see what the rest of Monday has in store for us. with the rest of free agency, what happens with B.J. Raji, what happens with Evan Dietrich Smith. All these things up in the air at this point, but definitely interested to see how it all goes down. But, folks, thank you so much for joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Paul Oren of the Times of Northwest Indiana for joining us, talking about Mike Neal, talking about free agency. And we'll see you again on Wednesday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all weekend, all week long. See you later. I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.